from National Council of Jewish Women, continuing an interview with Maya Berger. Mr. Berger, I notice you've made a few notes, which obviously relate to some things you would like to tell us about since your last interview.
Yes.
Where would you like to start?
Well, I'd like to start with 1985. My son-in-law and daughter moved to Pittsburgh with their two children. And he had been with big business in a research capacity. He's a trained scientist, Oxford graduate. But I felt that there was a place for him here.
Where had they been living?
They had been living in Germany for a couple, several years, and then in Hartford for several years. They came in here, and when we started a development of some of our properties, mm-hmm. we had a long time, and we changed them from warehouses into technological laboratories, and so he's been here 5.5 years. We've got a lot done, quite successful, with very good prospects for the future. We started a couple more businesses. Yes. Dr. Lippman, I'll get his number and I'll call him back shortly. Thank you. So that that's made a big difference. It's been wonderful having the kids here.
Sure.
The bas mitzvah and bar mitzvah here, and Ellis and Shadyside, respectively, where they're very active. My granddaughter is head of the student council at Ellis, and my grandson is got a jock at Shadyside, swimming team, soccer team.
Proud grandfather.
Oh, well, I should say. And so that's certainly made our lives much fuller.
Are you still very involved in real estate, commercial?
Yeah.
And how do you...
Industrial.
Industrial, I beg your pardon. In light of today's recession and real estate generally, do you find it's affecting you?
No, our phase of it is on the upswing. We have a number of large properties that we've owned since the late 50s or early 60s. And we have been developing those
mm-hmm.
into a mode which is consistent with the direction Pittsburgh's been taking. There's a lot of high-tech research and businesses have been started up. We have a hospital pathology lab in one of them. The city is using a large part of this, 9 acres on the south side here, for various purposes. So, we have been simply developing the properties we've had for many years, making higher use buildings than they used to be. Yes. Yeah, I better pick your mic. Would you... We're talking about the buildings now.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, well, and also the role that your son-in-law is playing in this.
Yes, he's helping me on the real estate. He has a day-to-day management of it and development. We're doing a lot of build-outs. Modernizing properties is what he knows.
Yes.
And my son carries on our traditional industrial supply and distribution business.
So you're very positive about the growth of Pittsburgh, the business growth?
Yes, in certain areas. But the old, there's not much growth in the industrial supply business. Although we've gone into a number of other businesses, a couple of new businesses. Developed our traditional real estate that we've held for, 30 years and more, accumulated. We picked up a lot of mill buildings as they closed up. This complex here was comprised of several mill buildings. We bought them as we went along.
Do you have ideas as to how you're going to develop them?
Well, on the road. Depending on the area, mm-hmm. We have our property on Forbes Avenue across from Mercy Hospital. We've developed into a medical technical building. It's moving on very well. It's a major undertaking. Mm-hmm. It's about 200,000 square feet. And our major tenant is Mercy Hospital. For whom we've built a lab in that building. And here we are furnishing buildings for a number of city of Pittsburgh needs. Some large buildings that suit, that are well suited for vehicle storage. City school buses work out of some. And other summer campuses. We have a lot of small businesses, startup businesses here.
As regards your family?
Well, the family, I think I've mentioned to you. It's been great having them here, and it's made our life a lot richer. I have a grandson graduating from Pomona College on the west coast this coming year, and there's a lot of good opportunities for him here if he wants to come in. I'd be the next generation because I'm my oldest grandson. So that's something to look forward to. The other thing is that next May we will have been married 60 years.
That's wonderful.
So,
mazel tov.
Thank you. And mindful of the fact that I'm on tape, I'll just say that my wife says that that's a lot longer than it sounds.
Any other comments about your children that you'd like us to know?
Well, I have a granddaughter that got married last night. He's an architect in New York. And the grandson graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And my granddaughter going away to school next year. She's applied for early admission to Vassar, where my other granddaughter went.
And your daughter? Susan?
Well, Susan teaches at the Hillel Academy.
Would you like to discuss political campaign?
My grandson, since coming here, has been active and is now president of the Savoy Arts, which you might expect from a Brit.
Would you tell us a little more about that? Could you elaborate on that?
Well, he retains his British citizenship,
mm-hmm.
and some of his British friends here in town are involved in Savoy Arts, and he's now president.
Okay.
So he's made his niche.
Are you planning a celebration for your 60th?
Oh, yes. I should say.
Good. Can we change the subject now and go on to comments you wanted to make about political campaigning?
Well, yes. As part of a fundraising effort for Governor Casey, to liquidate his debt after the 88 campaign, our successful 88 campaign, we had the idea of bringing Senator or Governor Cuomo in, the Speaker, and well, then we began to boom that as a draft Cuomo movement. And that got picked up by papers all over the country, and I found that I had a real event on my hands. We raised about $100,000 more than we expected to, due to making that a draft Cuomo thing. And that was a lot of fun and very profitable. And we may do the same this coming year. We think he's more available this time.
Do you have a good relationship with Cuomo?
Yeah, friendly. I mean, you know, I'm the guy. He called me the troublemaker because I was, you know, pushing him. That's tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Sure, he didn't really mind that, but he, that's the posture he had to take. You know. I'm a great admirer of his. And, of course, this year we had a re-election of Governor Casey. Well, a lot's happened since he nominated me to chairman of his competitive task force. Maglev has come into being. And I'm chairman for finance and legislation, which means I have a responsibility for raising the money. And a new facet of my life, I got the Japanese involved. And they now have a very good relationship in Pittsburgh. There's a consortium of about 20 top Japanese firms who like Pittsburgh and have been welcomed here. And they gave us $250,000 for our feasibility studies. Got the governor to give $300,000 from the state for feasibility studies. And it was just seed money to get started with. So I suppose that in the 80s more has happened to me than in any other period in my life. But that's the way it is, you know. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. I call it accretion, which means all you have to do is keep showing up. And also networking. You know, I know so many people in so many fields. Right? You put people together.
Mm-hmm.
You put things together.
Can I get back to something to do with our Jewish problems.
Mm-hmm.
Have you any comments to make on the Soviets, our new instance?
That probably has been the greatest development in my lifetime. And I wrote a piece on that in the paper recently that I mentioned to you, which had to do with tithing. $1 a barrel tax on oil that the Persian Gulf nation should put into a fund to help those wretched Arab and other peoples in the area. But that was all part of a larger theme, which was that in my lifetime, I can remember the men going off to war and Wilson's war to end all wars and the start of the League of Nations, and its failure due to a Republican Senate killing it here, and then its rebirth through Franklin Delano Roosevelt at the end of World War II and setting up the United Nations and planning for finally making an effective United Nations, and its demise through the Cold War, which was a great disappointment to any of us that believed in world order and the rule of law. And suddenly the whole communist world collapsed. overnight. Well, I think that's the biggest event of the 20th century. And what occurred, my thought was, you know, another chance. Like the Lord is giving us absolution, another chance. And that's the way I see this Gulf crisis. And that's the important, the real importance of it, is that to prove that you can set up a body to enforce the rule of law on a world basis. That's the real importance of it. And I think it's going to happen.
But to get back to these services actually settled here in Pittsburgh, a lot of them seem to be without jobs.
We hired a couple at one point.
Have you ideas on how to help them?
I'd like to be more enthusiastic about it, but the experience was not as good as it should have been. Mm. Their work ethic doesn't fit in with ours. I don't want to be negative. We did have one man that did have some skills. He went on to another city. He was doing quite well. A couple of others simply didn't do any more than they had to do.
But do you have suggestions on how to overcome these problems? Because more and more are going to be arriving.
Not here.
So what do you feel the answer is?
Well, the answer is, I think it was a good solution to have them go to Israel. That's not like getting rid of a problem, because we're going to finance it, and we're happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I participate in that to the best of our ability. But there's a real opportunity for them to build up a new country. My interest is in making that a safe country and in settling the differences with the Palestinians and the Arab world. And that's my great hope, that out of this Gulf crisis will come a settlement, not imposed, but the shape is there for a solution. It goes back to the Elan plan, where Israel continues to hold the high places in the West Bank and withdraws any other activity. Let them be self-governing. Let the countries, the two nations, live side by side for 10 years before you make any final settlement. And I don't pay any attention to, can you trust them? Can you trust them? Do you believe what they say? You know, just apply hard-headed business attack tactics to the problem and say that, number one, it's power that counts, and you don't give it up without having a demilitarized area there, with Israel having the ability to defend itself and the borders, and then work with them and try and develop the land. There's plenty of potential benefits for both sides. And on a trial basis,
mm-hmm.
for a period of time, learn how to work together.
Do you travel to Israel frequently?
Not often.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much I can do at this point. Mm-hmm. My people are not in.
Makes a difference.
Oh, yeah, I'm an aunt. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. We were hopeful that the Golda Meir Association activities would help with the Soviets. But the Soviets are so suspicious of any tinge of socialism, and labor was a socialist of socialist origin, and so that there's a tendency for the Soviet immigrants not to go to labor, and that's something we have to overcome.
On to a much lighter subject.
Mm-hmm.
I see you're on the board of the Duquesne University Tandy Ritson.
Well, I'm actually on the board of Duquesne University now.
And then you were vice president of Duquesne University, Tamara Ritson's.
Well, yes, but we've merged. Was for a long time. Merged.
And there was a great deal of controversy around them.
Yes.
And it's been resolved.
Well.
They're performing again.
Oh, yes, better than ever. together with the president of Duquesne, of the Duquesne University Board, I was able to effect a merger of the Tamaritsans into the university. So it no longer is a separate organization.
So you played a major role in this.
Yeah, I was happy to do that. And then they asked me to become a member of the Duquesne University Board.
And are you still on the board of WQED?
Yes. So that's an activity I like. In fact, a pet project of mine, which it looks like it's going to happen, is for QED to do an hour show consisting of a Tamaritsan performance. And then we'd have something we could put on national TV.
Sounds wonderful.
And it's a great show. And so great advertising. It'd get us into a lot of places around the country where our kids have never been. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's going to happen. That's what I call networking, you know. I'm a member of both boards.
On your little notepad, is there anything else that you'd like to mention?
Well, yeah, being on the Duquesne board and close to Mercy Hospital, I'm promoting a plan to name that area. I don't know how familiar you are with Forbes. Mm-hmm. It kind of opens up there if you come out of the Iron Train tube. And our property is down there, too. Mm-hmm. And I proposed naming it Duquesne Mercy Square. Mm-hmm. And identifying, people don't even know where Duquesne University is.
Right.
Most people. It's up on the hill.
I must admit, it took me a long time to find it.
So, and they're both Catholic institutions, and they should be identified as Duquesne. And so I've gotten Councilor Malines with the council introducing a bill in the city council very shortly, and put an archway over Stevenson as it goes up to the top of the hill that will now be the main entrance for both Duquesne and Mercy. If you go up the hill, on the left is Mercy, on the right is Duquesne, so that's going to be called Duquesne Mercy Drive.
Fabulous.
That's networking.
Mm-hmm. Well, to sum up, from 1984 to 1990, you've been a very busy man.
Yeah.
And will we have to visit you again in 1994 to catch up on the next 50 years?
I hope to be here.
You have lots of plans ahead.
Well, yes. If we get Maglev on the boards, that'll be something. That will change the face of this area.
Which brings me just to one final question that I would like to ask about the Japanese. How do you feel about them coming into America? Obviously, you see this as a positive thing.
We've got to stop this insular thinking. You know, it's one world. And where would we be without them?
You don't interpret it as a taking over of America as...
What nonsense.
The radio would like us to believe.
What nonsense. Mm-hmm. I mean, such a backward view. We've always had foreign capital come in here.
Exactly.
After the Civil War, foreign capital helped build our country. And now we've been so profligate with Reagan's supply-side economics and the fix they put us in. Where would we be if the Japanese weren't investing their money here and buying our bonds? It's just ridiculous.
And
the Americans have shown a preference for Japanese goods, and they've showed us how to do it better.
And in fact created more jobs for Americans.
Of course. Well, they've come in here, and Sony has just come in since we started working. I'm not taking credit for that, but the Casey administration has gotten them to come in there and taken over the old Volkswagen plant that's been empty for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a major enterprise.
Yeah,
they're going to be making more things there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese, with that consortium they organized to promote Maglev, has a very good feeling. We got the city council to issue a proclamation and gave it to them. thanking them for their help on Maglev and welcoming them here as to promote really. That was a very smart thing for council to do, and they're very proud of that.
Shirley, do you have any more questions?
Want to ask one more question because we have to stop. You have many outside activities, very active and interesting and global in effect. How does that relate to where you are here in this industry? Are you still able to carry on as
a
member of a large, your present business here?
Well, as I indicated, we've had to be like everybody else in this area. You hold on to what you've got in the industrial area and do the best you can. That's not a growth area. You know, why bump your head up against a stone wall? So we've gone into upgrading that property and building that lab there.
I was just wondering in terms of your part in all of that.
Well, I'm chairman of the board.
You're still chairman of the board.
Yeah, and these just different companies, I'm certainly involved in that. But I...
Do you ever relax? What do you do for relaxation?
We'll go to meetings. No, relaxation to me is having a project and just making it go. There's this fellow calling me, he's the head of the SUI International, he's coming to town. The tape isn't running, is it?
No, we're going to stop.
Want me to stop?
Well,
let me,
we should.
Let me just thank you very much for a very interesting interview.
Yes.
And we appreciate you having called us to come in and meet with you. Thank you.